Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
We know that the flu season is just around the bend, and many people would get vaccinated. It's certainly suggested if you're especially vulnerable. That's, you know, the aged, young, those with suppressed immune systems and so on and so forth. But as to the availability of the vaccine, my spies tell me in Alberta they may not have it for the seniors until sometime in December or early New Year. Let's find out what the situation is here in these parts. Joining us on the line, Global News Radio's medical expert and ER doctor, Dr. Brett Belchetz. Brett, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing there?
Likewise, fine, thanks. So we can anticipate that the flu season is obviously around the corner. Are we prepared?
We are prepared. I think as prepared as we can be. Every single year what we do is we go out and we try to get a good idea based on what we're seeing around the world of what the circulating strains are going to be. And we try to create a vaccine that we think will address those strains fairly effectively. And so when we look at the flu vaccine that's being created for this year, there are a number of components of the flu vaccine that are actually relatively new components that have been redesigned for this year. We feel that they're going to be a good match for the flu strains that we've seen circulating thus far. Of course, we never really do know what's going to circulate until it really hits us. You know, we base a lot of this on what we've seen in the southern hemisphere because their flu season hits before ours. But, the flu can mutate between that time when it hits the southern hemisphere and our hemisphere. So there are many times where we just don't get it perfectly right. But I think we for this year, we're as well prepared as we can be at this point.
Why is it seasonal?
Well, that's one of the big mysteries that is out there. There's been a lot of talk over many, many years trying to understand the seasonality of the flu, why it hits at a particular time of the year, why it comes every single year the way that it does. There are theories. Nobody has ever proven any of them right or wrong. Many of the thoughts have to do with the fact that during winter time, which is typically when it hits, so late fall to early winter, there is a lot more time that people are spending indoors. They're in much more close quarters. It's much more easily found that diseases can spread from person to person. We're sharing rooms. We're sharing spaces. We're coughing in enclosed spaces, et cetera. But that is just a theory. That's the one that logically would make a lot of sense. But beyond that, we don't really have 100% of an idea as to why it does occur the way it occurs.
Again, with Dr. Brett Belchetz, Global News Radio's medical expert. So how do the vaccines work? I guess this is the thing that's curious because it's basically infecting you, isn't it?
It's not infecting you at all. So that's a common misconception. So what a vaccine is supposed to do, it's supposed to expose your body to the look and feel of the virus. So the outside of what the virus would be without actually giving you the real virus, without actually making you sick. And that's really important because the way that our immune system fights infection is it learns the outside of what a virus or bacteria looks like, and our immune system learns to say, wow, that's a bad guy. That's somebody that we have to create a lot of chemicals to try to take down that bad guy. And once we know what it looks and feels like, we're prepared. We have lots of antibodies and all sorts of other things circulating in the bloodstream that if we see it again, we'll take it down quickly. And so when we get sick, so for instance, if you actually have the flu, your body has actually seen that flu virus. You got really sick with it, but your body figured it out and it built all those antibodies. And then the next time it sees that flu virus, you don't get sick because your body's prepared. So what a vaccine is doing is it's trying to trick your body by showing what the outside of that flu virus actually looks like without actually giving you the flu, so that your body has all of those defenses built up just as if you actually got sick, but you never actually had to get sick to get those defenses.
So is this, though, based on people with healthy immune systems?
It is. So your antibiotic, your body's response, so that antibody response, that immune system response, all of that requires that you have a healthy immune system that is ready to sort of turn the pumps on, turn the engine up when it sees something that's bad. For somebody who has an unhealthy immune system, they may actually see that outside of the virus or outside of the bacteria that is contained in a vaccine, and it actually may do nothing at all. So there may be no reaction. So typically, there are variable levels of effectiveness depending on the vaccine and depending on the immune condition. But anybody who has an immune condition should certainly be consulting with a physician before they are vaccinated.
Well, they're saying out in Alberta, for example, there's a high-dose vaccine that might be made available. I don't know. Is it similar here in Ontario? I would assume it is. It's got four times the amount of antigen. That's the part of the vaccine that stimulates the body's immune response, as you were just saying, which is for people with suppressed immune systems, especially the elderly or the vulnerable. Good idea to get the, the high-dose vaccine?
I think if you're over the age of 65, it probably is a good idea. The reason being is that people who are in that age group typically do have less of an aggressive immune system than those of us that are younger. And it has been shown through research that people who have received that higher dose vaccine have had lower rates of death and lower rates of hospitalization. So actually quite significantly lower rates of death in past studies versus those who received the lower dose vaccine. That being said, you know, if you're in an area of shortage, if you're somewhere where you're unable to get the high dose vaccine, the low dose vaccine is still quite effective, actually very effective in people who are at risk populations, so including the elderly. So what I would recommend is, you know, just because it's not available in your area, don't go out and not get it. You certainly should still at least get the regular vaccine.
Now, there is a cost affixed to the high dose vaccine, is there not?
It depends on the province. So some provinces fully covered. I believe it is fully covered here in Ontario. I would need to double check that. In Alberta, where they're reporting shortages, part of the reason for that is that it is not covered in Alberta. So I believe that people who want the high-dose vaccine have to pay $75 for it in Alberta. And so I think the reasoning on the part of the manufacturers, they had a limited number of doses, and I believe that they diverted fewer of the doses to Alberta due to the fact that they anticipated demand to be lower in Alberta because it wasn't covered there. My understanding is in provinces where it is covered, we aren't having as much of a shortage because the vaccine maker diverted more production to those areas.
Are we still seeing an issue with vaccine hesitancy?
Absolutely. And you know, it's unfortunate in this day and age, after all of the discussion we've had on this topic, that there are still people who are naysayers when it comes to vaccines. There is just so much misinformation out there. I can tell you I've been practicing for well over 15 years, and I have yet to see anybody who has had a significant bad reaction from the flu vaccine. But I've seen plenty of people get very, very sick from the flu. There's no question that there's very little risk from this treatment, and there's no question that it's a great benefit. And it is, as I said, incredibly disappointing that we're still seeing this as a big issue.
Yeah, that's what they say. Canada's flu vaccine rate is lower than other developed countries, like, for example, New Zealand, the U.S., or South Korea. Why would that be?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, if we look at country to country, there has been more prevalence of anti-vaccine messages in some countries than in others. And I would certainly say our country has been one of those countries where we've seen more of this happen. The other issue that we've seen is there are some countries where legislatively the government has been willing to step in and say, you know, we understand that the anti-vaccine messages are based on misinformation. We understand that vaccines are a public health safety issue, and similar to seatbelts, where we say you can't just decide that you're going to get in a car and not wear a seatbelt. We're going to legislate that you have to get vaccinated. And so in countries where the government has stepped in, we're obviously seeing higher vaccination rates. So if you look at Canada, where, you know, legislatively, you know, you are allowed to make these choices, you are allowed to not get vaccinated, where there is so much misinformation that's circulating, it is certainly a perfect storm for people to not get vaccinated. And in general, a perfect storm for us to have higher levels of public risk.
Brett, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate you dropping in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Dr. Brett Belchetz, Global News Radio's medical expert and ER doctor.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.